The voice of the Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, over 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to people in a heavenly tongue that they each heard in their own language. This was the first time that mankind had heard the voice of the Holy Spirit to them. I mean, they'd heard the prophets speak, but this was the Holy Spirit speaking to them because they had His Spirit. The Spirit had been poured out, and their spirit was hearing His Spirit. Each heard in their own language. Now it's interesting to contemplate, how did they each hear in their own language? You could think that, or you could believe, I don't think it really matters terribly much, we just have the record of that's what it says. But did the apostles and the disciples actually speak those languages that people understood, and the disciples didn't know that they were actually speaking in that language? Or did the disciples just speak in a heavenly tongue? And what the Bible says here, they heard in their own language. So the Holy Spirit was speaking for sure, but the main thing is they heard in their own language. Whatever was said, they heard in their own language. And that's the key thing. The Holy Spirit can speak in all kinds of ways, but we hear in our own language. This was the dawning of the age of grace and truth. And the law was written on their hearts. A new covenant came into operation on that day. 3,000 people were added to the kingdom that day. So I'll read the scripture, Acts 2, verse 6. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. It's interesting they were confused because it was so new. It was a miracle. Not just a miracle of one person having something happen to them. See, they hadn't seen miracles for hundreds and hundreds of years, except when Jesus did things upon people. But this was a miracle of a corporate people. Everybody witnessed a miracle. But they were confused because it was so big. It's interesting that at the Tower of Babel, they were confused also. But the opposite thing happened. They were expecting somebody to speak to them in their language, and like, pass me the brick, hand me the brick, and they heard Yunga Gumbu Bunga. What did he just say? He just said Yunga Bunga Gumba, and he's got his hand out. But there's a whole bunch of them saying Yunga Gumbu Bunga. A whole bunch of them. There's another group over there saying Iku Spiku Diku. Another group. We're the only ones speaking the real language on the planet, the only ones speaking English, so there's something wrong here. They're going to have to go somewhere else, and them. So we're going to have to go somewhere where we can all speak to one another. They were confused. Their tongues were confused. Because they tried to devise a unity made of their own ambition. The exact opposite to what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God came and joined them together in one spirit, His Spirit. Instead of confusing their tongues, He confused their mind by the fact that they were hearing the Holy Spirit and it was beyond their comprehension, the supernatural wonder of God speaking to each one personally. That's where we live. And it should never, ever, ever cease to be a wonder. Today, I just want us to be encouraged that we should expect to be hearing the Holy Spirit speaking to us in our own language. And I don't just mean English. I mean our particular kind of way of hearing and expressing things. It's so personal. And it's ongoing. 1,500 years earlier, at the dawning of the age of the law, Israel were given the Ten Commandments written on stone. The day of Pentecost was written on their hearts. Moses received the commandments on the mountain, and on that day, because the people worshipped the golden calf, 3,000 people were slain. Day of Pentecost, 3,000 people received life and were added to the kingdom. You can see God mirroring, showing us wondrously how He weaves Himself through the Word of God. To make sure we focus on this wonderful moment, that in God's economy, the way He works, this never ever diminishes. In fact, it gets greater. We hear the voice of the Spirit. The age of the flesh gave way to the age of the Spirit. From that time onwards, humanity was in communication with God through the Holy Spirit. When you think of all the voices that we hear, all the conversations that we have, and there is one conversation that's going on, the real one, between the Lord and us, who have ears to hear. He's speaking to everybody in the world. He's come to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. He's there talking. But Him speaking and people hearing are two different things. It's one thing for Him to be speaking, it's another thing for us to be hearing. When you're praying for people, never, ever, ever, if you're praying for people that don't know the Lord, never, ever think that God's not speaking to them. Never think that. Of course He is. Pray that they will hear. And pray that the voice that you have, if you can speak with faith and love, just rest it easy, not arguing, pushing it down. But just there speaking, knowing that the Holy Spirit is giving you words to speak, then pray that they'll have ears to hear. So it's not a matter just of the Holy Spirit wanting to speak, which He does, and people hearing, but it's a matter of our being conscious and aware that the words that come out of our mouth are pretty significant. We hear and we speak, as Paul said. Now, we receive Holy Spirit humbly and simply as children. What I'm saying today is not complex. We trust Him to lead us and teach us and comfort us through every situation in our lives. He's never silent. So as we receive simply in this way, we also walk in him simply day by day. Colossians 2, verse 6 says, as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in him. Simply, humbly, as children. Can you remember the time when you received the Lord? Did you have to learn a lot? No, you just got it. What's this? I'm hearing something I've never heard before. And you're awakened as you received him. And you obey. You fell for him. You let him take you. As you receive the Lord, so walk in him. As children. It's been found that a five-year-old has an intuitive understanding of physics, science and physics. There's a book, interesting book, written by a man called Bondi, H. Bondi, Assumption and Myth. And he says that they learn a vast amount of science spontaneously and thoroughly and more easily than they do when they have to study it in depth later on. They learn about heat, light, sound, gravity, motion, energy, magnetism. They don't know all the words for them straight away, but they learn about gravity pretty quickly when they fall over. They learn about throwing projectiles, missiles, balls. They learn it in their play. Then they go to school and they have to learn a whole lot of definitions, do sums. But they learn spontaneously because they interact with these things as realities. That's hot. That's bright. That's light. Goes away at night. Then another light comes on. What's that, Mum? That's electricity. Okay, that's light. I know that. They don't have to know it works. They just know it's there. They know how to use it. They interact. They have a language for them. They learn these things. And they have a simple way of measuring them. They know what to expect and what not to expect. Learning is not hard work for a little one. They grow up to be fine. It's play. They love to learn. It can become hard work when they have to learn definitions and proofs and abstract theories, right? Anything can become hard. I remember at age 5, I knew how to use a phone. I could dial a number, but I didn't know how a phone worked. You know what? I still don't. I don't know how this thing works. I use it, and in fact, it does just a multitude of things. An iPhone is what I'm holding it. I'll never know how it all works. Somebody else has figured that out. When I was the same age, 5 and 6, I used to have to get on a train at Waverton and go to Milsons Point, to Loreto Convent. And it was 6 miles, took 10 or so minutes, travelling at 60 miles an hour. And then there was a 1 minute stop at North Sydney. But I didn't sit in the train thinking, this train is travelling at 60 miles an hour, going to go 6 miles now, let me figure out how long is this going to take us. We will stop at North Sydney for 1 minute. And I just got on the train, got there, and got off the other end. Somebody else was organising that. But I understood time and motion. Huge study in physics. Some people spend their entire lives doing mathematics on time and motion. I just sat in a train when I was five, knew all about it. I knew that riding a bicycle taught me about gravity, falling over. Again, motion. If you move forward at a good enough speed, you'd stay up. You can hit trees and things, but at least you'd stay up. These things were intuitive. I also, relationally, we learned things too. I knew that we went to Grandma and Grandpa's place, we'd get goodies. So I'd go, I'd get goodies. I couldn't wait to go next time. But I didn't have to manipulate or do anything. I just knew they were good people. They loved me and they wanted to bless me. Life was just, it's happening. Somebody's organised a whole lot of stuff and I know how it sort of works. And the more I play, the more I ride the bike, the better I get at it, the more I understand it. But it's not like sitting down and studying it. Now, the reason I say that is it's like that when we come to the Lord. We receive him as a little child. He speaks our language, shows us stuff. We just learn to trust. Einstein said, education starts before school school, and it continues after we've forgotten what we learned at school. That's what Einstein said. You know how he discovered the theory of relativity? He said the mathematicians are trying too hard. He played with light, pretended he was on the end of a light beam and all of a sudden saw the whole picture, played a game with the universe, came up with, oh, this is how it works. All of their sums, because they locked themselves into maths and went into blind alleys, he just saw it. And he got it. Enough of the brain to know how to explain it. Einstein said, I have a knowledge of the existence of something we cannot penetrate, of the manifestation of the profoundest reason and the most radiant beauty. It is this knowledge and this emotion that constitutes the true religious attitude. In this sense, I am a deeply religious man. That's Einstein. He said another thing. He said, there are two ways to live life. Either nothing is a miracle or everything is a miracle. He loved to play with the playground of the universe that God gave him and dream and envision how it worked. And God opened it up to him. Now, when we're first taken hold of by the Holy Spirit, our spirit is intuitively created to accommodate God and respond to him. Not to analyze, theorize about God. And we seem to want to do that later on. I want to get these definitions right. That's okay, it's not wrong. But don't forget that as we received him, we were like little kids and he was real. He is real. We just let our hearts be at home with him. Didn't you experience that? It's like when you receive Jesus, when you receive God into your life and you hand over, you think, I'm at home now. It's okay. I don't understand about all the things, how you do the miracles, but I trust you. You're in charge. I don't know the theory of it all, but you're in charge. And I can trust that if I need help and I come and ask you, you're going to speak to me. You're always going to be there. Who's speaking? The Holy Spirit. That's his word in the earth. hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Spirit. Now, he speaks from Jesus and he speaks from the Father. And he speaks through the Word of God. And he'll also speak to us in our language, whatever it is that we have need of, in a funny way we ask him questions. Nobody else would know what we were trying to say, perhaps. Oh, Lord, I don't know what to pray, but maybe somebody can work this out for me. God says, Holy Spirit says, it's all right, I've got it, I'm with you. Jesus, you know, the Father will do this according to his perfect will. And if you like, Father, this is Holy Spirit speaking, Jesus, give me some words in their language, in their mood, in their particular personality, in their particular peculiarity, that only they will understand. And they'll try and tell somebody and somebody will say, What the Holy Spirit said? Oh, he said, he was going to create this wonderful flower for me to look at. And he said that when you hear the birds singing, that's me singing to you. Oh, yeah. All right. You like birds, do you? You like flowers, do you? Hey, listen, the Holy Spirit's got a language. And it's beautiful. And he's speaking to all of us. I sent a text to all the family on the 1st of January this year. Somebody had given us a cactus and it was just sitting there, cactus doing what a cactus does, just sitting there. Apparently these cacti just do a flower once a year or something out in the desert and it lasts for a day. Anyway, this is day one. And we went out there and Tanika said, look at that. And there was a flower bigger than the cactus. I said, got to get a photo of that. So our motto for the year was, hey guys, this year the flower is bigger than the cactus. Last year was a bit of a cactus. But this year the flower is bigger than the cactus. And you know what? I just felt the Holy Spirit say, yeah. He can talk. Always expect him. His presence is flowing. Play with God in this sense, like children, just being shown the wonder of new things in a new world. His presence grows in us, it flows in us. And what we have or what we don't have, we take ourselves then less seriously, we take him more seriously and expect him to do the stuff. Always expect he'll work it out. Somehow he'll work it out. So let's not lose our first love. Let us abide in him and be attentive to his voice. Amen. And we're going to have communion now.